From Fort Worth, Texas, the Jesus Christ Said radio ministry is on the air. Our website, which has email and contact information along with past sermons, is www.jesuschristsaid.com. Now, with today's message about the good news of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, here's evangelist David Perkins.
Thank you, George Thomas. In John, the 10th chapter, beginning in verse 11, Jesus Christ said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father." The red letter words of Jesus Christ in the Gospel of John, the 10th chapter. Please pray with me. O Heavenly Father, may the words that I say be what you would have me say. Like the air above us, we cannot comprehend thee. Like the air within us, we cannot live without thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Welcome to you all in the name of Jesus Christ. Welcome. It's so good to see all of you and talk to you and listen. Some of you listen all over America and the world on the internet. Welcome in the name of Jesus Christ to you all. I want to thank Dr. Jerry Chisholm, senior pastor at the Arlington Heights United Methodist Church on the west side of Fort Worth, for allowing me to use part of his prayer. I love his words about God. Like the air above us, we cannot comprehend thee. Like the air within us, we cannot live without thee. So thank you, Dr. Chisholm. Now, this is Memorial Day weekend. Memorial Day Sunday is today. Memorial Day is the day we nationally pause to remember our war dead. We have another national holiday, Veterans Day, November the 11th, where we remember our veterans. Armed Forces Day is always the third Saturday of May, which this year was May the 17th. That was Saturday before last. Armed Forces Day is where we venerate our armed forces and all of our troops all over the world, no matter where they are or why they're there. Armed Forces Day was started in 1949 to commemorate all the armed forces at the same time. But I was in the Marine Corps. We always celebrated the Marine Corps birthday on November the 10th with greater enthusiasm than any other time of the year. The oldest Marine and the youngest Marine aboard the base at that time were the two who get to cut the birthday cake for the rest of us. It's always funny to see some smooth-cheeked 17-year-old private standing alongside some grizzled master sergeant cutting that Marine Corps birthday cake. But the Marine Corps lives on its tradition. We have many of our leaders who do not know the significance of Memorial Day. I received an email from our Lieutenant Governor of Texas, David Dewhurst, who said in part, quote, "With our bravest men and women fighting abroad to protect our freedoms at home, Memorial Day stands as one of our most esteemed American traditions. As we honor our men and women who served in the armed services on Memorial Day," unquote. And then the lieutenant governor continues to honor a deserving wounded member of our armed forces. But that soldier is alive. And today, this weekend, is about honoring our war dead and their families. My comment to our leaders about this war in Iraq, especially those conservatives who got us into it in the first place, based on false information and false evidence, is you don't know what we're fighting for. You don't know why we're fighting in Iraq, and you don't know how to win, and you don't even know what Memorial Day commemorates. This weekend, Memorial Day weekend, is not about war, past or present, but about the awful consequences of war. No price is too high if the cause is just. And all, I mean all, servicemen and women serve at the command of the commander-in-chief, who's also the president. When the president orders our brave troops into action for whatever reason, the individual soldiers, sailor, Air Force, Marine, and Coast Guardsmen, and man and woman, they must obey. Now, this takes courage that is uncommon today. One of the traditions that the Iraq War has revived is the tradition of hanging a star on the front window of the home of the member of the armed forces, a blue star for every son or daughter serving. And today we pause for that special color, the gold star, for every son or daughter lost in war. Pat and I proudly fly a blue star for Patrick serving in the Navy. My mother flew a gold star for my brother Joe. Even today, these many years later, it saddens me the thoughts and the feelings that I have. So for all of you Gold Star families on this Memorial Day 2008, God bless you and thank you. Today's Bible reading comes from the New Testament, the Gospel of, or the Good News of Luke from the 22nd chapter beginning in verse 47. The Bible says, while he was still speaking, suddenly a crowd came and the one called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus said to him, Judas, is it with a kiss that you are betraying the Son of Man? When those who were around him saw what was coming, they asked, Lord, should we strike with the sword? Then one of them struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said, no more of this. And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priest, the officers of the temple police, and the elders who had come for him, have you come out with swords and clubs as if I were a bandit? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. That's our Bible reading for today from the Gospel of Luke chapter 22. May God's mercy be upon us all and his life shine in our hearts and in our souls. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was asked to give an address before the clergy and laymen concerned about Vietnam. And this was at the Riverside Church on the April the 4th, 1967, in New York City. The title of his speech was Beyond Vietnam, and in it he used the term the fierce urgency of now. The fierce urgency of now. Dr. King said, we are now faced with the fact, my friends, that tomorrow is today. We are confronted with the fierce urgency of now. In this unfolding conundrum of life and history, there is such a thing as being too late. Procrastination is still the thief of time. Life often leaves us standing bare, naked, and dejected with a lost opportunity. The fierce urgency of now. And I urge you to read the entire speech by Dr. King. Could be found on the internet at www.africanamericans.com/MLK Jr. beyondvietnam.htm. And I cannot overstate the eloquence of that speech. That speech is so beautiful to read. This weekend, we as a nation observed the sacrifices made by our servicemen and women down through the years in the defense of the liberty of United States, the ultimate sacrifice made by so many men and women, many of whom were just kids, young men and women fresh out of high school or just off the farm or the factory floor, and they willingly gave their time and their energy to our nation, and in so doing, lost their lives for our cause. My oldest brother was one of those young lives that were taken, and so the family suffers the most in any conflict. This is the last Memorial Day weekend in which President Bush will be the commander-in-chief, so the Iraq War is uppermost on the minds of many today, and the other potential conflict with Iran stands as a grim reminder that these wars and rumors of wars will never cease as long as men and women of ambition hold the reins of power. The courage of all men and women who now serve in our armed forces is above reproach. I truly do not know where they summon the courage to go to Iraq and some time after time after time to go back to Iraq as their families, as our family did, wait for that bitter word of the supreme sacrifice. Jesus Christ said, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus Christ was not talking about losing his life in combat, fighting to defend his sheep and their freedom to graze on the good grass that God had provided for them. Jesus Christ is not the valiant warrior with a sword in hand fighting off hordes of wolves, wolves whose intentions are to sweep down from the hills and slaughter the sheep and the lambs. Jesus Christ is more like the description in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7. The Bible says he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, though he did not open his mouth. By a perversion of justice he was taken away. Who could have imagined his future? For he was cut off from the land of the living. In our Bible reading for today, Jesus Christ made the statement of how he felt about the use of the sword in war, in any endeavor. Jesus Christ said, "No more of this. No more of this." I'm not convinced at all that there's such a thing as a, quote, good war or a necessary war, unquote. What can be good or even necessary about breaking God's command? Just as when the president commands our troops into action, whether they want to go or not, they must obey. We as disciples of Christ, as followers of Jesus Christ, must follow the commandments he laid out in the New Testament. From Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 27, Jesus Christ said, "But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." And again in Matthew chapter 5, verse 38, Jesus Christ said, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to anyone and everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you." Jesus Christ said for us to turn the other cheek. If someone comes up to you and hits you on one side of your face, you are to turn the other side of your face to that person. You must even restrain yourself from some sarcastic remark like, "Is that your best shot? And come on, you can do better than that." We must do as Jesus Christ commands us to do, turn the other cheek, both figuratively and symbolically. We are not to question, we as followers of Jesus Christ, as disciples of Jesus Christ, are to do what Jesus Christ commands us to do. We must turn the other cheek. And coupled with Dr. King's admonition of the fierce urgency of now, we are not to turn the other cheek in the next war, or the next altercation, or the next barroom fight. But now, this time, this incident, this war, this fight. Now, there are ways to fight evil without confronting evil. This is to begin to follow Jesus Christ. There is the Zen story of the Buddhist monk and the samurai swordsman. It goes like this. A soldier called Nobushige came to Hakuin and asked, "Is there really a paradise and a hell?" "Who are you?" inquired Hakuin. "I am a samurai," the warrior replied. "You, a soldier?" sneered Hakuin. "What kind of ruler would have you as his guard? You look like a beggar." Nobushige became so angry that he began to draw his sword. Hakuin continued, "So you have a sword? Your weapon is probably too dull to cut off my head." Nobushige drew his sword. Hakuin remarked, "Here, open the gates of hell." At these words, the samurai, perceiving the master's discipline, put away his sword and bowed. "Here open the gates of paradise," said Hakuin. There is also, as you may know, in Paris, a famous statue by the sculptor Rodin called the Thinker. There's a little-known fact not too far from that statue in the same garden as a statue done by the same artist called the Gates of Hell. You so-called free thinkers had better rethink your position. and seems thinking is too close to the gates of hell for my liking. Better begin believing in God and letting the supernatural Holy Spirit of God come into your heart to guide you. That's the smart thing to do. Remember, the theme of today's sermon is Dr. Martin Luther King's The Fierce Urgency of Now. There is an urgency about now. Not tomorrow, not next week, not manana, but right now. The fierce urgency of now is upon us. We don't know what's going to happen. Only God knows what will happen and when it will happen. Do we know what's going to happen to our beloved country, to the beautiful United States of America? Will America go the way of Jerusalem? As Jesus Christ was approaching Jerusalem, he stopped and wept. And this was during his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Jesus Christ said, if you, even you, talking about Jerusalem, had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Indeed, the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up ramparts around you and surround you and hem you in on every side. They will crush you to the ground, you and your children within you, and they will not leave within you one stone upon another because you did not recognize the time of your visitation from God. That's from Luke chapter 19, verse 42. The fierce urgency of now is America to become a gold star land, a country filled with gold star mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters? Is Jesus Christ lamenting and weeping over us, saying, if you, even you, had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace? Some would argue that Jesus Christ is telling us on a personal level to turn the other cheek, that this does not apply to the halls of power in our government. We cannot fight as an individual, but as a nation, we can and should fight. That argument, to me, doesn't make sense. If we live in America, the home of individual freedom around the world, the home where our ancient documents of freedom and liberty begin with we the people, and it is widely held that our government is us, is really we the people, then what is the difference between me the person and we the people? There is the story of the good wine harvest where each of the families were to contribute one bottle of their very best wine to a community wine cask that would be opened on harvest day so the town could celebrate God's good blessings on their town and their wine harvest. That night, the wife of one of the farmers told her husband, we're not wealthy like the rest. We really can't afford a bottle of our best wine. Why not just pour in a bottle of water to the community cask? Nobody's going to know the difference with one bottle of water mixed in among so many bottles of fine wine from the others. So the next day, the man crawled up on top of the community wine cask and poured in his bottle of water. No one could see what was going on, so no one knew. Came the big day of the harvest festival, and the mayor, with much pomp and ceremony, opened the spigot on the community wine cask, and out came nothing but water. Everyone had done as that man had done. They had poured in a bottle of water instead of wine. Is this us? Is this America? Is Jesus Christ, if Jesus Christ has commanded us to turn the other cheek and we tell the world that we are a Christian nation, why are we fighting in Iraq? We are in Afghanistan looking, I hope, for Osama bin Laden to bring him and his world-class outlaws to justice in America for the crimes he and his criminal friends have committed, not just here on 9/11, but in Spain on 3/11, in Great Britain, and several other nations around the world. But Iraq never had and doesn't now have anything to do with 9/11 or Osama bin Laden. The signs of peace are there. It's right under our noses, or rather right there in our Bibles. Jesus Christ is telling us, if you, even you, had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace. This is the last Memorial Day that President Bush will be in office as president. Next year, we'll have a new president. I pray that that president leads us in the way of Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ has commanded us to do. Turn the other cheek. The fierce urgency of now is that no more gold star mothers be created in America or anywhere around the world. Not today, not tomorrow, not the rest of this year. America proclaims herself to be a peaceful country, a peaceful nation. We have a way to go. But with the blessing of God and guidance of Jesus Christ, we will see through to victory. Let us pray. O God, Father in heaven, from whom comes the light of all the universe, be the guiding beacon for our nation. Give us the courage to be generous as a nation. The Lord God that created the largest galaxy in the universe, who also created the smallest grain of sand, lovingly created me. The hands of the Lord God are here in my heart and there in the sunshine. The Lord is everywhere there is good. My God is the warmth that holds and protects me when there is danger. My God is eternal, and I am just a wisp of smoke. But God created me forever ago, and forever He will let me live through His grace almighty. The Lord God's purity and love will cure the evil injustice that we humans do to God's creation, God's creatures, and God's other children. Give us the eyes to see those in need and to help them through any means we can as a nation, as a church, as an individual. O God, maker of all heaven and earth, be our light and let the love of Jesus Christ, from which all humanity flows, come into our hearts. Give us the clarity of heart and soul to be good apostles, following your Son, to be good citizens of this great nation that you and your generosity have given to us for safekeeping. We worship your goodness and your mercy and your generosity, and we fear your wrath. Give us the courage to follow the commandments of your loving Son, Jesus Christ, as he said for us to love one another, and love your neighbor as yourself, and love your enemies. Give us the strength to follow his truth that love of God is stronger when giving of ourselves, both as citizens of a nation and stewards of a church. Give us the strength of character to be that light of Jesus Christ, that generosity of God here on earth. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're still part of the evil in the sinful world, you can change that right now. You can have God help you hear the words of Jesus Christ. You can do that right now. No matter what is in your past, you can become a follower of Jesus Christ now in the twinkling of an eye right here on the radio. And if you're already a born-again Christian and have gone back to sinful ways, to barring from the church house door those that may need God the most, to seeking power in this world and all of its false wealth, if your light for Jesus Christ has gone out, you ask for forgiveness right now. The fierce urgency of now is upon all of us. Pray with me right now. It doesn't have to be exactly like this, but pray with me now. Oh, Heavenly Father, please give me the courage to live the life Jesus Christ has for me by learning to love those around me. Save me from being lost and being dead in my soul. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Then this coming Wednesday evening, you find a church close by, no matter what denomination that church is. And if you're physically able, go there. Many churches have dinner and Bible study on Wednesdays. That's the best way to get to know God, by studying His Word. And if you have little children around the house, you be sure and get them into vacation Bible school this time of year. That's getting them started off the right way, too. And then next Sunday, you and your family, or you by yourself, go to Sunday school, go to church, any church, but go. Don't let anyone or anything talk you out of church. Go to church, any church. Don't just forget about denomination and look for the love shining in the eyes and the smiles of those churchgoers. That's the reflection of the basics of the love of Jesus Christ that is in their hearts and in their souls. You find a church, you find the church, the instrument of God, the true instrument of God, not an instrument of some political party. You find that true, one true church for you, where you can meet other seekers of the love of God. No matter what the name is on the outside of a church, It's what's on the inside that counts. I'd like to salute all you men and women on the way to Iraq or Afghanistan or just coming home. Perhaps someday soon in this year of 2008, as we Christians all over the world unite in the cause of the Prince of Peace, we can have all those fighting in wars go home safely. Good luck and Godspeed to you. If you have a favorite religious song you'd like me to close the program with, please let me know. Today's song is Blessed Assurance, sung by Sandy Posey.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior
Sandy Posey. That's Blessed Assurance. Please pray with me one more time. Heavenly Father, keep us all safe until we meet again. Keep watch over us and keep our hearts full of Jesus Christ's love. In His name I pray. Amen. This is program number 820, titled The Fierce Urgency of Now, program number 820. If you'd like a copy of this program, please write to us at the Jesus Christ Said Radio Ministries, Post Office Box 162712, Fort Worth, Texas, 76161. Till next time, this is David Perkins saying so long. I'll see you in church, and be sure to love one another. That's what Jesus Christ said.
From Fort Worth, Texas, you've been listening to the Jesus Christ Said radio ministry. If you'd like to hear past sermons, please go to our website, www.jesuschristsaid.com. This is George Thomas saying thank you for listening, and God bless you.